My name is Jesse. I'm an addict. Coming down this weekend, this was not the plan. I got yanked up yesterday at the last minute to replace someone, so bear with me. This was not prepared. I was thinking, I did a workshop one time here. My clean date, by the way, is August 12, 2001. I have never found the need to go back out and experiment. I came in, I got clean. I'm not going to tell you it was an easy ride or anything fun. It's been miserable, actually. I work steps. I go to meetings. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. I sponsor women. I do service work. I'm very involved in recovery. That has not been my story the whole time. I do want to do a little backstory just to go into what I've thought about touching on with this step and this tradition. Growing up, I had a mother who was an addict, a father who gambled all the time, and my house was, there was no love, there was a lot of dysfunction. It was not the best atmosphere for children. I remember at a very young age, we were talking this morning about our first memory, like my first memory as a little kid. And my first memory was my father pulling me up to ask me if I wanted to, did I tell my mother that it was time for us to leave? And I was 6 years old. And I told my mom we needed to pack up, me and my brother, and we needed to leave, my father. And like that was my first memory as a child. Anything prior to that, I don't remember. Like I said, my parents, my mom used hard. She's a heroin addict. And my dad was really never around because he'd stay in the bar. And if he came home from the bar, he was home for just a minute before he turned around, he was gone again. So I learned from a very, very young age, codependency. I was the adult in the family because I had a little brother and I took care of him. So my whole idea growing up was if I took care of you good enough, then maybe you would love me enough, that everything might get better. And, you know, I just had a warped perception of, you know, what family and love and you know, principles, like all of that, all of these things that we learn here in recovery, I didn't know anything about that. I just felt like if I just loved you enough, you'd love me back. And that never happened. So I started using when I was 9, was the first time I picked up. And from the minute I picked up pills and I went hard until I was 20. I got clean when I was 20. And it started with pills and ended with crack. And I mean, I would take, from day one, was taking fistful of pills at 9 years old out of my parents', my stepmother's cabinet. And, you know, it was a hard, hard time. And when I got here, I struggled with that because I was 20. Like, was I really an addict? Did I really have a problem? Because when I got clean, you know, 13 years ago, there weren't a lot of young people here. Like, at all. And my sponsor got clean young, and she was one of a couple that got clean young, and so there was, like, just this big gap, and now there's all these young people. I was working registration yesterday, and these three kids walked up, and I swear they looked like they were my daughter's age, and they were like, where's the newcomer packages at? I'm like, what? Like, you look like you're 12. But you know what? Good for them, because I struggled at 20 when I got here, thinking, was I old enough? Had I done enough? And the bottom line is, I had. I was a mess. I was a wreck. I didn't know how to live life. The only thing I had was a job and a car, and I only paid my car note because if I didn't have my car, I wasn't sure how I was going to get to that next one. And I don't know how I kept my job other than God graced me. I don't know. But I got that paycheck, and that paycheck would be gone. So, whatever. So anyway, that whole codependency part, like I was reading this morning, step 7. So it says, character defects or shortcomings are those things that cause pain and misery all our lives. If they contribute to our health and happiness, we would not have to come to such a state of desperation. We had become ready to have God, of our understanding of Him, remove these defects. When I got here, I did not, if you said God once too many times in a meeting, I walked out. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't do steps. I didn't do traditions. It's kind of ironic that I'm doing a step in a tradition meeting at the convention. But I wasn't ready. I didn't want to hear it. I wasn't ready. The whole God thing, I was like, I got this, I got this, I got this. Like, the only thing I did right through my whole recovery was I had a sponsor, and I called her on a regular basis. Didn't follow directions. I did what I wanted to do. And the important part of this is, like, my codependency with my mother transitioned into my adult life with my now ex-husband, that I just felt like if I loved him enough, that he would love me back the way I wanted him to. It didn't have anything to do with the inside and me being okay with me. I just felt like if I loved you enough, you'd love me back and I'd be okay. And that never happened. And what did happen is I worked the steps, and I heard it last night and I hear it often. The steps will change you even if you're not trying to. So if you're working steps, it's gonna happen. Because it happened to me. I woke up December 1st of 2010 and I told my ex-husband that I didn't love him anymore and I didn't know what had happened, and I didn't say I was done. I didn't say I wanted to end our marriage, but that spiraled the next 30 days into a whirlwind of chaos and misery. I didn't eat for 30 days. My sponsor was on the verge of putting me in the hospital. Clean. Like, I was clean and I was wrecked over wanting you to love me just enough so I didn't feel like the way I was feeling. So going back to that whole, you know, shortcomings and having them removed, like, I needed a relationship with God in order to have that happen. And I didn't have an understanding of a God, so I continued to just go on my sponsor's faith. I love, love, love my sponsor. If you don't have that connection with your sponsor, you better pick another one and figure it out, because I'm telling you, the only reason I'm standing here having never relapsed was because of that woman, and I tell her on a regular basis. They tell you to tell the ones you love that you love them. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's one person that I know, if she died today, she'd know exactly how I felt about her, because she's an amazing woman and she's changed my life. And she loved me and she stood by me when I didn't have anything. I came back to the rooms. I checked out for 6 years, right, because of that marriage. And he actually, the one convention meeting that I did 7 years ago, and I've been reflecting on this since I talked to Terry yesterday. I did a meeting, Got Clean, Young, Here to Stay, something like that, 7 years ago. And it was less than 30 days that I did that meeting and I was getting married. And to listen to that person and to know this person is night and day. It's two different people. Because I wasn't engaged in my recovery. I was kind of in and out, in the sense that my husband and my daughter were my priority. Recovery was not my priority. And what I have learned from that experience and having gone through that is I continue to work steps, I continue to talk to my sponsor, and it all evolved, it all changed. And now I'm the person that God's working on and wants me to be. It's not about what I think I want to be or what I want, which is funny because now I'm looking at that person 5, 6 years ago and I'm like, what the hell? It's not a pretty picture. Because it was, in my words, it was sad and it was pathetic, because my view of happy was about this big. Where now I just feel like they say the sky's the limit. Like, I know my life is well beyond what I was limiting myself to. And so you know, I shared in that convention, or at that year, that convention, that if anything happened in this marriage and we didn't work out, I knew I'd be okay. And I said that. I don't think I meant it. I didn't know that it was going to end. I didn't really... That just never even crossed my mind. But the cool thing is like, I was a wreck back then. Like, I wouldn't have told you that, but I was a mess inside. To fast forward to today, like, I have a relationship with a guy that's amazing. I'm single and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm completely okay with being single. I'm raising my daughter. I have a full-time job. I'm going to school. My ex-husband, and I'm just going to breeze over this because, you know what, I said this morning to someone, like, we didn't work out, and that's fine. He's not the right guy for me, but that doesn't make him a bad person. And I try to say that on a regular basis because I want to character assassinate him because he pisses me off pretty regularly. But it's not him. It's just that we don't mesh well, and I need to remember that because we have a daughter together, and that makes life very complicated sometimes because I want to do it my way and he wants to do it his way, and it's like, how are we going to make this work? But he ends up marrying this past year one of my ex-best friends. And it's fine. Like, I'm okay because they're completely meant for each other. And a lot of people who know me and have known me through that situation, I didn't know it at the time. When we separated, that never came up. It came up a couple months later when, like, I came out of denial and I kind of stopped being naive and kind of looked it back. I'm like, ah, okay, now it all makes sense. But everything happens for a reason. Like, I can't stress that enough. Like, as much as I hate that situation and I hate what I went through and I hate the feelings I had around it, my daughter is in good hands. I know the woman that I'm dealing with. I don't always care for how things go down sometimes, but, like, in reality, I've heard horror stories about step-parents. And, like, my daughter's loved, and I know that. I might not like her. She might, you know, try and play the role of mom a little too hard sometimes, but, like, she could beat my kid for real. Like, she could be really crappy to her, and she's not. She's good to her, and I need to look at those things. I need to look at the positive in them and stay focused there. So my point is, and I don't know if you're getting any of this through what I'm sharing, is until I was ready to have a relationship with God, like, I asked for the shortcomings to be removed. I prayed, but it wasn't in my gut. It wasn't in my heart. So until that relationship evolved, which has happened over the last 6 years, I feel like I'm totally living what this step talks about and being humble and doing things differently. In that situation, and even my mother. Right now, my mother has a few months clean. I don't know how long that's going to last. She's never stayed clean my whole life. I did an intervention on her with my sponsor a month and a day after my ex-husband left our house because she was putting needles in her arm. She's almost 60 years old. So, you know, what I have to understand, and I try to live by this, I think I do live by this, I need to stay on my side of the street. I do my piece. Whatever you decide to do with you, that's you. I can't dictate what you're going to do. But if I'm trying to be a better person, I can't be vindictive. I can't be hateful. I can't, like, have all these character defects that want to pop up. I'm not saying they're not there. I heard somebody say once they put them on a shelf and they can tap into them at any time. I try really hard not to. I think a lot of crazy shit. I don't necessarily tap into it. So as long as I leave it kind of tucked away, it can come out at any point, but really, like, as long as I leave it there, it's better for you and for me, because I can be happy and then I don't have to make your life miserable. So I don't have much time I have. I'm sorry, guys, I don't do topics. All right, so I'm going to transition from that to the seventh tradition, because I don't know what kind of time I'm working with here. So to touch on that for a minute, so every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. First sentence says, being self-supporting is an important part of our new way of life. The first thing I thought of, and I felt like this was easier than the step, was I took everything you had. I wanted everything you had. Like, I didn't do anything on my own. Like, I'd use all my money, like, within 2 hours after getting it. And then I'd go get everybody else's. Or I'd know, I always dealt with men because I knew how to get to men. There's children in the room, but I know how to get to men so I could get what I wanted because I didn't have cash and that was easy. When it came to be fully self-supporting, and I just feel like I've had a lot of these conversations lately, women have asked me, like, how do you do what you do? Like, you're a single mom, you live in a nice neighborhood, like, you seem to have a lot going for you. And I'm like, you know what? I work my ass off. I do what I got to do. I had 2 part-time jobs and a full-time job before I sold my house because he wasn't helping me pay the mortgage, and I had to pay the mortgage, and it was on 2 incomes, not 1. So I stepped up and did what I had to do. I'm not saying that's a brag, but I'm not going to sit here and take advantage of people anymore. I'm not going to not pay my bills because I decided to separate from my ex-husband. And I'm going to be like, you know what? I just can't afford it. Like, I need to, like, pull my panties up and figure it out. And that's what I did. And that's what women in recovery have taught me how to do, is to take care of what I got to take care of. You know, and it comes back to the group. If we have people come in for anniversaries, and they want to throw, you know, $20 in the basket because they're excited because their family member is, you know, better and they're involved in their lives and they're all, you know, they want to contribute to what's helping them, we need to give that back to them because it's not about them helping us. We got to help ourselves. And that needs to be a very clear message. I'm not as versed on the traditions, but I can tell you that just individually, that fully self-supporting piece has paid off for me. I guarantee you, in that same situation with my ex-husband, he expected me to fall on my face. And there is a little bit on, you know, ego there that like, I didn't fall on my face, I'm doing this, I paid the mortgage, nothing was late, like, you know, and there's a small little piece of me that can be like, screw you. Like, I never say it, I don't flaunt it, but it's a good feeling to know that, like, I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I could stand on my own 2 feet and, you know, do what I did. I never thought I could be alone and be happy. So to, you know, sit there and say that I'm fully self-supporting in my own life allows me to then be an active member of Narcotics Anonymous and be able to say, you know what, I participate in my home group. We, as a group, are fully self-supporting and do our own thing. We don't take donations. I know there was a situation where we had to pull together a group conscience because, and I don't know if this actually relates in or not, but we had someone, it was one of us, was not an active member of Narcotics Anonymous. He had been out, in and out for years, but it was actually a part of my ex-husband's family. He had OD'd, and we found him a week later in the woods. The cops found him. And so I went to my home group, and we went as a group, a couple of us, to talk to the church to see if we could use the church. But we paid for it, and it was an outside issue. It was separated from the fact that we were Narcotics Anonymous. It didn't have. It wasn't a donation. Like, we paid them to use the facility, and they said, "We love you guys here. Like, you guys are great. We love." Like, I chat with the people that are in there when they use the building when we're setting up for the meeting, because I go set up my home group, and like they really like us there. Like, it's a good thing when you have a good rapport with the church where you have your home group, because they're, you know, some people aren't a big fan of what we do because they don't understand. And they wanted to let us use that church that time for free. And we were like, no, we don't, no, we're going to pay for this. And we had to kind of, they didn't understand it, but we ended up paying them, and they couldn't understand why we wouldn't just take a free donation, because everybody likes free. And the thing is it was an outside issue. It was separate, and we needed to keep it that way because we're fully self-supporting. We don't want to have this bad name go with Narcotics Anonymous. So, I thought I was almost done. I'm going to go back to the step. I felt more comfortable there, so we're going to go with God and go back to the step. So when it comes to step work and going through step work, I can't tell you how many times I've worked a step. In the end, I just felt like I was going to just be like, I'm all better, like life is better, life is great. I didn't have that wow factor, I don't think, with any step I did. What I can tell you is, like everybody said with the fourth step, it was going to be horrid. Fourth step was piece cake. Six and seven sucked. I was not a fan of six and seven. Only because I had to look at me. Like, four, yeah, I got to dig it all up, but I did it. I know what four is all about. With six, I had to really look at what I was doing. Pieces of me that I didn't like and that were not effective. They weren't good qualities, and then ask God to remove them and be willing to be aware of them and do something different. That's hard stuff. Like, that's big stuff. Because I don't know about you, but like I said, in various situations, I'm real quick to, like, revert back and want to be nasty and want my way and do my way. And really, if you can find a relationship with God, I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm not telling you when to do it, because it's taken me 10 years to figure it out. But that relationship with God has changed my whole perspective. I had three things that I said that I, and it's actually been within the last 6 months, that I struggle with. And that's my mother and her lifestyle and what she chooses to do and not be a part of and be an addict and, like, you're my mom, figure it out. Two is my ex-husband, because I feel like my way is the best way, so I don't understand why you can't just get on board with me and why you're going to argue with me and tell me I'm a pain in the ass, because it's not my fault, it's your fault. Three, is a relationship, because I feel like I've done so much work on myself that I deserve a man in my life that loves me and wants to be my partner and go through life together. But what I was failing to understand is this isn't my plan. It's not my agenda. It's God's plan. And he's got a plan that I don't know about. More than not, I'm not privy to the details. I just need to show up and do what I got to do. And then everything else gets revealed. I have more people tell me yesterday when I bring this up, they're like, there's a reason that you were asked to do this meeting. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But ever since I took that approach about 6 months ago and chose to grow my relationship with God, those three things aren't even on my radar or in my life. Because I've allowed God to take it, and I've allowed that worry to be with him instead of me. And when it was taken away from me and lifted, and I allowed myself to step out of the way, some beautiful things have happened. Like, I have some amazing women in my network. It allows me to focus on helping somebody else, which always helps me 10 times more. And it just, I struggle because the newcomers come in here, and like, I'm so glad I got clean when I did, because people would tell me to come in, and if I even raise my hand, they'd grab my hand and snatch it down and tell me to shut up and you don't have nothing to say. And I struggle sometimes with newcomers because we're really, really, really soft on them, and it's really, really hard because I have so many people like, oh, you don't want to scare them out. I'm like, really? People are dying. Like, I don't understand. I have a girl in my life right now that I'm struggling with, because when I say to the T, she is reliving my first couple years in recovery. So I mentioned I have a daughter. My daughter is not my ex-husband. My daughter is a product of me having 2.5 years clean. The guy had 30 days clean. I decided I was going to save him. We were going to live happily ever after. Life was great. Moved him into my apartment. I got pregnant. He got high. And he's been gone ever since. And that's fine. Like, I love my daughter. My daughter changed my life. I always say Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. My daughter changed my life. I'm a totally different person because of her. But the thing is I have someone in my life, 11 years later, to the T, going through that same experience. And I can't tell you how many nights the last couple weeks I've cried, because she's pregnant. She's going through it. The guy is not, he's not ready. And she's in love. And it breaks my heart, because I know that pain. I know what I've been through. I remember all I wanted was that happy little family growing up, and I feel tears coming. Because I never had that family that when I found out I was pregnant. I didn't know what I was going to do, because my first thought was, oh my God, I can't have a baby, and like, there's no dad in the picture. I don't know where any of this came from. And like, my baby girl, again, as you picked up, not a fan of my ex-husband, but he's a great dad, and I know he'd never let anything happen to her. And God has a plan, and everything works out the way it's supposed to. And I, like, again, I didn't know what that was going to be. But like, I struggled with that, and I see her going through this, and I'm just like, God, you have no idea. It's not even just the emotional toll. Like, kids are expensive, like beyond belief expensive. Like, and that's one place where I learned real quick how to be selfless, because let me tell you, that kid, she said the other day, Mom, we wear the same shoes. I'm like, great, now I can get some new shoes, and we'll be sharing shoes. But no, that, I mean, just, you know, thank God I didn't use, and I didn't give away my clean time, and I could get better. Like, and I tell people that all the time, I don't care if you want to go be a slut, slut it up and get through your feelings, just don't use. Like, I don't care if you go out and gamble your ass off and you're broke, like, I don't care, just don't use. Because I know for me, that 6 years went, it went by, and in the midst, I thought I was so happy, and looking back, I was so miserable. But I didn't use. And by not using, it allowed me to get better. Like, I could eventually get better. I didn't have to start all over. I didn't have to go through, you know, detox and all this other crap. That was hard enough the first time. I detoxed in my bedroom. That's the other thing, maintenance. I won't get on that. But, like, to be able to be, hopefully, a power of example that, like, when this does and if it does go south, like, I hope it's a different story. I don't think it's going to be, because I've seen it happen too many times, but hopefully she'll know I love her through this. I haven't stopped talking to her. I'm going to be there. She's totally isolating herself. I just want others to learn from my mistakes, right? And I know I can't make that happen. I didn't do it. I didn't learn from others' mistakes. But it just frustrates me, because I think in here we beat ourselves up way more than we need to. Like, we did so much beating up out there, physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything else, that, like, we come in here and we want to get better, but we put ourselves through it. I know I did. I put myself through it 10 times worse than I think I did when I was using. Just trying to fill that void that I have discovered only God can fill. As much as I didn't want to hear that when I got here, God filled it. And it's taken, you know, 13 years to figure that out. But I'm done. Can I be done? Fantastic. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll keep it in touch.